Chapter 28 tonight, and we won't be finishing it tonight. I just don't seem to want to finish Acts for some reason. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to get away from this. I still have not yet decided what we're going to go through next, but we will. But one of the things we've been studying throughout Acts is the continued work of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, he had been encouraged several times by the Lord that he must go to Rome. This is the emphasis for us tonight. He's going to make it to Rome. And so this gesture would cement the Lord's affirmation. If you remember back in chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnessed to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I find it interesting that he tells us that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The thing about it is that oftentimes I see believers who do not walk in that power. They don't let that power rule and reign in their lives, and they don't see the power of the Holy Spirit working in them if they choose not to rely upon Him. But even though Rome would not be the ends of the earth, as Jesus said, even to the end of the earth, it would signify really the farthest point in reaching the Gentiles at this particular time, at the time that Paul reaches there. And so Paul and company had gone through some very dangerous times, some dark times, very uncomfortable times. And how often we have seen that in our own lives when we wonder what God was doing, right? Many of us have gone through those times. And today we're going to see some pretty amazing things that are going to play out for Paul and company. And I want us to keep this in mind, even in our own circumstances, no matter what they are, that God is in them. Even in your mom's situation, Linda, God is in them. And so we left off last week seeing many in the town being healed, and with it, Paul and company taken care of physically and also materially. Verse 10 from last week, "They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." If you remember, everything that these people had owned was sunk in the shipwreck, or it was thrown overboard. They no longer owned anything. It was all gone. We saw that this past year in our own area, Mill City and Otis and Lincoln City, right? Houses burned down, people's stuff. It was hard to watch them on the news that everything they had was just burnt to the ground. And here is another thing. When we as God's people reach out and provide the needs, as these guys did for Paul, for those who are displaced, you don't broadcast it. I saw one church during the times that the fires were running rampant, and I saw the pastor get up in front of the congregation and read a letter that they got from the fire captain telling them what a bunch of wonderful people that they were. And the pastor continued going bragging about how much they had given and how special they were and how proud he was of his church. And he used that term, "I'm so proud of you, my church." And I thought, oh no, because that was their reward right there. He took their blessing, he took their reward out of God's hand and put it in his, and that is what they're going to be remembered for. And how sad to receive the glory for what God did. These folks did not do that. They were just blessed that Paul was available to them, even though they looked at him like, wow, who is this guy? But yet he healed the one cat's dad, and then all the town came and was healed. And they were taken care of. And so it was not even the thing about it is, for this pastor, it wasn't even the people that provided this stuff. A company that they rely on, that they get goods from, gave it to them, and all they did was drive it up there and give it to them. The people didn't even provide for it. And so how sad that you see things like that. But we don't see that here in this passage. Remember, always remember, as Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." Let somebody else speak of the things that you've done. Nothing makes me more irked when I see a body of believers boasting themselves. And it's like this: "Look what our church has done for our community. This is what we did." Now, it's okay to let the body know what the needs are, but you do it without the media and all without the fanfare. Because usually when the media comes in, it's always for that extra, "Look what a fine church this is here. Why don't you come and join us?" That's what that's about. But then again, even with that, that is their reward. There will be no reward in heaven for that. And for Paul and company, they were honored because of the time they had spent to heal and to help give therapeutics to those who had needs. And so we begin today's study in verse 11, and Luke writes, "It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail on another ship that we had wintered at the island, an Alexandrian ship with the twin gods as its figurehead." And so now they are off again to Rome. It's after spending 3 months with the Maltese people. They are now on a larger Alexandrian ship carrying wheat, and it says with the twin gods as its figurehead. Now, just a little background so we all know that the King James Version, if you have the one, it says, "whose sign was Castor and Pollux." What does that mean? Who is Castor and Pollux? Well, the constellation Gemini is considered the twins, and it is named after them, and its two brightest stars are called Castor and Pollux. And during this time, if Gemini was seen during a storm, it was assumed to be an omen of good fortune. Now, you know as well as I do, we've been talking about it the last few weeks, they were in a terrible storm. You're not going to see any stars, are you, in a terrible storm on the ocean? There are no stars, just clouds and rain. So they thought, well, if you see Gemini, then it's going to be good fortune. Well, part of that is because it's going to be good weather, right? The idea of a figurehead in ancient times would be similar to the names given to ships, kind of like the Titanic or the USS, which one were you on?
Larsen.
But unlike our Navy today, in ancient times, the figurehead was an image of a god, little g, or a man, or a beast, or some other object that was sculptured or painted on the prow. What was that? That's that part of the ship in front of it that is above the water. So a lot of the movies we see where they have those little figureheads out there, that is either a deity or some kind of, it's a pagan's superstitious thing that they, since they didn't know God, that they would figure that they need a guardian deity. And they affixed it to the stern, and that's what these two guys were. Why did they do it? For protection. And you guessed it, it's kind of like the things in modern day. What do we normally see on the dashboards of some people's cars? Statue of Mary or a Buddha, right? And you might have seen that throughout the years. I know I did. Coming from a Hispanic background in a Hispanic town, everybody had the Statue of Mary on the dash. I remember growing up, we had a metal dash. And so my mom had one that had a magnet so you could put it on there. And we used to move her all over the dash when my parents weren't looking. So one day she'd be on the far right, the far left, and then in the middle.
Mary.
But what happened was they would think that that was their good luck charm. Verse 12, Luke says, our first stop was Syracuse, not the college, where we stayed 3 days. From there, we sailed across that place, Regium. A day later, a south wind began blowing, and so the following day, we sailed up the coast to Puteoli. And there, we found some believers who invited us to stay with them 7 days, and so we came to Rome. So there they are in their adventure. The winds are now favorable, and they ultimately end up in this place, Puteoli. It says, there we found some believers. And this refers to not Jewish brethren. Some of your translations say we found brethren. But it's not Jewish brethren, because Luke, being a Gentile himself, he refers to his as brethren also. The fact demonstrates that the gospel had spread 145 miles from Rome to this seaport. And once again, emphasizing that the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. We saw that early on when we were studying Acts. I was reading today that there was a particular bishop in Africa who was saying that the West is so spoiled because of the way they handle things. He says, we have some of our church leaders get killed for preaching the gospel and the church grows. We have another group of people that get attacked and the church grows. We think that the way the church grows is by us going out and evangelizing people. Theirs grows through hardship and heartache. And if you recall that there had been some early on, when we were in Acts chapter 2, verse 10, there were some of the Roman Jews at Pentecost, and they went back, and most likely some of these that were born again, when they heard Peter's gospel at the time, and they returned and they established a church at Rome. So in turn, this church had probably been planted in Puteoli. But what a refreshing time that must have been for Paul to find these believers and to spend a week with them. They all got to enjoy a week-long pastor's retreat with one of the greatest evangelists of all time, if you can imagine that. They're sitting there with Paul. They're excited to see him. Some think that the church at Puteoli and at Rome could have been founded as early as 50 or 60 AD, and it's very possible at that time. But we have to remember that those weren't churches that Paul founded. They were founded by others who had heard the gospel and had gotten saved and had went home and planted the churches there. They were already there when Paul got there, and they must have been a blessed fellowship. And now Paul, finally, he was just 145 miles from Rome. Remember the whole time, I must get to Rome, I must get to Rome. And Jesus encouraged him, you're going to go to Rome. And now he's only 145 miles from there. And here's this group of Christians. It had to have thrilled his heart. And almost everywhere in the Roman Empire, there were brethren who exercised their gift of hospitality and took Paul and Luke into their homes. That used to be a really big thing. I remember early on when I was a Christian, there was evangelists and people that would come to the particular church that I was going to, and people would house them. They would fight to house them. They wouldn't put them up in a hotel. They would fight to house them so they could feed them and provide for them. And that has to be a very exciting thing to want to be able to go like that. And so we see in verse 15, the brothers and sisters in Rome had heard we were coming, and they came to meet us at the Forum on the Appian Way. Others joined us at the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, we thanked God and took courage. Paul arrived on the outskirts of Rome, and Christians came to meet him at the marketplace. That market was Appius, and that was about 40 miles from Rome. So he's steadily making his way there. And of course, the Three Taverns, that was 30 miles from Rome. So as he gets closer and closer, a lot of these believers come out to meet with him. And notice the joy and the encouragement Paul received when he met these Christian brethren, most of whom he most likely never met, but they knew of him. Yet there was an immediate oneness between them. And what a time this must have been. Lynn and I were talking yesterday about Thursday when we talked with Justin and Janet. What a joy it was just to hear their voice. And it made us sad when they said, our Saturdays, all we have is what you put on the internet. And I'm like, ooh, forgive me for missing 4 weeks. But I told him last week's was on. He says, we will listen to it on Saturday. And I told him I will work on trying to find a very equitable way to try to get them involved on Saturday nights with us. And so a great oneness that they had. They had prayed together, fellowship together, and encouraged one another to a greater dedication to Christ. And some believers traveled as much as 40 miles to greet and encourage their visitor. For you and I, we have to ask the question, how far would we go to encourage a fellow believer? How far would you travel for that? How cool it is for us, sometimes it's as far as our computer, right? To get on there and to email someone. I can't tell you how blessed I am when I see the emails go out and the people responding to, well, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring that. That encourages me. Why? Because I know that the group is becoming one, staying one. We need to stay that way. And even sending back emails, I know Lorelai has sent some to Matt, and they converse back and forth. Here's a guy who's only provided dishes but has never been a part of us, but yet he's being encouraged as well. He doesn't even know it. But sometimes, because of technology, we have Google Hangouts, we have FaceTime, we have Zoom, and you name it, with our technology, we literally can encourage people around the world. And so I want to point out something here that it's very easy to miss. It says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and he took courage. Does anybody have a different translation than that? Anyone? Everybody have the same one? Ooh, not following along, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking at my other translation. Acts 28.
Oh, you're not even there.
No, it's
Are you? 15. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and he took courage. Okay, very good. The sight of these Christian brothers who would walk and talk with him caused him to thank God and to take courage. Even mature spiritual believers need the inspiration and strength which can be derived from Christian fellowship with other believers. The Greek word courage, tharsos, it means be of good courage, also boldness, or the courage to do a thing, the grounds of confidence. How many in here today, no matter how long we've been with the Lord, walked with him, need encouragement? Yeah.
And it's neat because they just had to be there. Just
yes.
Be
they just showed up. They just showed up and he was encouraged. So the fact that it lists that has to tell us that he was discouraged. People say, oh, you're just reading into that. No. He saw them and he was encouraged. Oh, wow. No doubt they had heard about him. And most of us, if not all of us, need encouragement. I needed some serious encouragement yesterday. And I'm not really sure what it was other than it was warfare, but it was extreme. It was tremendous. While I was doing this study, I read and I wrote and I read and I wrote. And literally, I had to pull myself away from my desk because I didn't want to do the study. Nothing was coming to me. I didn't know what to do, and I was getting frustrated. But not only that, a lot of other things were hitting me. I realized that it was the enemy trying to get me to not put pencil to paper. I had thoughts like, what's the use? No one really cares if we do this. Or is anybody really getting anything from this? Why should I keep doing this? Why should I work so hard at it and get attacked? And yet, I knew that it was the enemy. I'm not exempt from the lies and the snares of the enemy just because I sit and parse out God's word. You think that if you're doing it, oh, you're free. Ollie, Allah, oxen free. You can't touch me. He was beating the tar out of me. He really was. And so what did I do? What any good pastor would do. I left my desk. Lynn and I got in the car and we went to Lowe's and picked up some more material for the remodel. I got away from it. And it followed me, but I just kept, you know, I just needed some encouragement. I have one person now that I can call. I used to have three, but I have one person now that I can call. And no matter what I'm going through, I can share with him and he will be there for me. And yet it was so hard. I wouldn't even do that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I can relate now when some of you, when I say, hey, how come you didn't call me to tell me you were having a hard time? I can relate now. I don't want to call nobody. But that's what we need to do. And when I woke up today, I had a renewed vigor to share this word with you today. Why? Because I know that there's something Satan does not want us to get from God's word. And so now, for Paul, it's on to Rome at last. Rome is not new to us in Acts, if you've been paying attention. Some of the pilgrims from Rome had been in Jerusalem to witness the miracle at Pentecost. You remember that back in chapter 2, verse 10. There were some folks there. And it wasn't so long ago that Luke informed us the Jews were not welcomed in Rome. And we saw that in chapter 18 when we were there, verse 2. For some time, Paul had intended to visit the saints in Rome. He wanted to get there. Danny, I had Danny reread chapter 19, verse 21.
When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Asia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome.
See there? He was looking. If you remember, he wanted to take the contributions from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia and deliver them to the needy brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And then from there, he was going directly to Rome. But what happened? Remember? He got arrested, right? He intended to be there. Matter of fact, he was supposed to be there 3 weeks before this. And so from here, Paul intends to be sent on to Spain to continue sharing the gospel. He was going to go from Rome to Spain, but for now, he finally arrives. Look at verse 16. Luke writes, when we arrived in Rome, Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging, though he was guarded by a soldier. Remember, he's a prisoner, right? It doesn't tell us where the other 200 and whatever 74 or 73 prisoners went, but Paul gets his own studio apartment. I threw that in there. So he was put under house arrest. And at this time, he was either chained to a guard or a guard was posted at his door. But he had his own residence. And every so many hours, that was the custom that there would be a changing of the guard. And before long, the entire guard ultimately had to have heard the gospel of Jesus from Paul. You know, these guys are coming and they're sitting with him for, some say 4, some say 6 hour intervals. Paul's not going to be sitting there and talking about the internet because it wasn't invented then. He wasn't into social media. He was into Jesus. And these guys are going to hear about him. And no doubt he had a captive audience as they couldn't go anywhere. So he takes the opportunity to share Christ. Notice Luke says, when we arrived in Rome, Luke is still with Paul in Rome, but now he could no longer stay with Paul. But he would be kept company by a soldier guarding him. Luke could stay with, well, he couldn't stay with him any longer, but undoubtedly he was allowed to visit him because we're going to see that in verse 30. And this is the last time in this chapter that Luke includes himself. No more we or us. It's just Paul now. But Luke is mentioned in Paul's epistles to Philemon and to Colossians. So we know he was there with him. And even though Nero, remember who he was, he hadn't lost his mind at this time, and he had not yet shown his true character, the evil person that he was. So Paul was allowed to have his own quarters. And so the Apostle Paul was treated with courtesy and allowed many privileges. What a wonderful thing that was. He still was not free to leave. But can you just picture yourself? What if you were that guard being chained to Paul? Paul, are you just going to keep talking about Jesus? What else do you have to talk about? And so they never got away from hearing about Jesus. So in closing this portion of our study, I want us to just see 6 things. I've cut this down short so that we can really focus in on the things that we need to see in here. Because if we just gloss over them, we're going to miss them. And what I see in this passage is the tremendous faithfulness of God to a faithful man. God says in his word, matter of fact, Psalm 145:19, if you're taking notes, 145:19, he says, I will fulfill the desire of all them that fear me. Now, we know that that's not God saying, I want you to be afraid of me, but to revere him and to trust him. And now look what God does with the Apostle Paul. There's 6 things that he does I want us to see. The first one is, and put yourself in this place if you're missing it in your life. Number one, he surrounds him with kindness. First, in chapter 27, verses 2 and 3, when they left Caesarea, he arrives in Sidon, and immediately he's refreshed there and ministered to by the Christians. In chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, his needs are met by the Maltese people. And in verse 10 of this chapter that we read, they honored him with many honors and they gave him everything that he had need. So God surrounds his faithful people with kindness. He's kind to Paul. He makes sure his needs are taken care of. The second thing is God ministered to Paul's needs. When he needed physical ministry, when he was sick back in Sidon, he was ministered to medically. In chapter 28, if you remember, he was ministered to by Publius in verse 7 by being given a place of lodging. Remember there? This guy was the top dog in the city. He's living in this guy's house, and Publius takes care of him. He was ministered to by the necessities that were granted in verse 10. And in verse 14, when he arrived in Puteoli, the brethren there ministered to him. So God is constantly ministering to his needs. How many of you know that God continually ministers to our needs? And he supplies us exactly what he wants for us. For Paul, when it was food, he got food. When it was medicine, he got medicine. And when it was fellowship, guess what? He got fellowship. So we see the first one is to surround him with kindness, ministers to his needs. And the third thing is that God encouraged him. But God encouraged him over and over. And back in chapter 27, remember when the ship was going through the hurricane? You remember that God sent an angel to him and said, don't worry, Paul. You're going to make it to Rome, and everybody is going to make it with you. So he encourages him. And then I think the greatest encouragement must have been in verse 15 that we just read. When he saw those Christians, 43 miles from town, all gathered at the side of the road, waiting to walk with him the rest of the way, showing him their love and affection. We've seen that in the news lately, haven't we? Or a few weeks ago. People just waiting for miles just to get a glimpse at the president, just to show their support and how that gave him strength. And like that, Paul here as well gets it from them. And then 10 miles further, he meets another group, and they went to Rome, and his heart had to be thrilled. He was encouraged. The fourth thing that God does for a faithful man is he protects him from harm. God saved him from a hurricane. We saw that. God gave him a shipwreck, and God saved him from a snake bite, or saved him from the shipwreck and a snake bite. How many of you know that God protects his own? Fifthly, God blessed his influence. Whenever he went, wherever he went, things happened. It's startling to think about that. Paul had such a dramatic influence on the ship that it's almost a foregone conclusion that some of them came to know Jesus Christ. God gave him, he blessed his influence. He had such an impact in Malta that a church began there, and may even have been a church that was begun in Syracuse, this writer says. We know that he had a profound effect on the city of Rome because many of the people in Caesar's household were saved. God blessed that man's influence everywhere he went. Sixthly and lastly, God fulfilled Paul's desire. He wanted to get to Rome. He got to Rome. What desires do you have? Are they yours or are they the Lord's? He wants to fulfill the desires that he gives you. For Paul, the Lord had put that desire in his heart so strong that he actually made it there. And he wanted to be encouraged and to know the Christians loved him. And they encouraged him. But God met his desire. We have been studying about a faithful man exhibiting all the qualities of a faithful leader. And in return, we see God giving all the blessing. If you're taking notes, Proverbs 28:20 says this, and I want us to catch this. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. Why? Because God is faithful. He's a faithful God. He rewards those who faithfully serve him and serve him diligently in all things. For you and I today, we must think about this portion of Acts and ask ourselves, is this just a cool story or does God still do this today? There are many people today who just go through the motions. They fall by the waysides. We shared with you earlier today of someone in our family that just ultimately walked away from the things of the Lord. And this person was such a fanatic about the things of God. He would turn people off. But now he himself isn't even walking with the Lord anymore. But is this just a cool story, or does God really do these things today? Who is it that the proverb said abounds in blessings?
Faithful.
A faithful man. Not one who goes to church or to a Bible study or gives of their money, but it is a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So I need to sit before him and ask him, Lord, have I been faithful to you? Or where have I not been faithful to you? And as we are seeing today, we can allow ourselves to get so caught up in the troubles that are before us that we lose sight of our faithfulness. What is it that we are to be faithful to? What is he calling me to be faithful to? Well, right now he's calling me to be faithful to Saturday nights, to teach his word. I need to be faithful that no matter how hard it gets, if I will just do that, he'll take care of the rest. But if we neglected being faithful, I want to tell you, it's just one easy step back to him. Just be honest with him. We're sharing that with Lauren the other day when she said, I feel so guilty because I allow the things of school and the world to get in the way that God's word goes by the wayside. I said, don't feel guilty. That doesn't come from God. Be encouraged that you felt that, because that's God saying, hey, I want to talk with you. I want to grow you. And I said, that's the easy way. And she was telling me that in her youth group that they try to throw this guilt trip on them that you need to do this. You need to read X number of chapters. You need to pray X number of however many minutes or hours. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I said, you know what? The only thing you need to do is be honest with God. You can even say, God, I don't want to read your word right now. Do you know that when you're saying that, you're having communion with him? You're speaking to him and he hears you. But here's the thing. He already knows, and he desires to show himself strong through those who claim that they belong to him. For you and me, we need to remain faithful rather than fearful of what comes our way. Too often today, people are afraid. Well, what if? There was the what ifs. What if this happens? I remember teaching sixth graders. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Next year. Sixth graders. They would always ask the question, well, what if, when I was teaching them there, what if, and they lay out a scenario. And I said, I have an answer for that. What if it doesn't? I know, but what if it does? What if it doesn't? See, you're worried about something that hasn't even happened yet. But we need to be faithful rather than fearful. And it will be up to him to see us through, just as he did the Apostle Paul. All of those six things God is desiring to do for us as well. But we forget those things. But we've got to hang on to those things, just like Paul. And as we'll see next week, whether I finish it or not, you're going to see what happens. And now Paul is there. He's been faithful all the way up to now. Now we look at Paul, looking back, and we read, and we think he was just a super spiritual hero. And he was, but he's no different than you and I. He's made of the same cloth. And that cloth is Jesus. God can do in us far greater than he did in the Apostle Paul if we will just be faithful boys and girls of him. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this portion of your word. You displayed all.